wonderful world tomorrow. Stephen LeBlanc brings you understanding about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow. And now, Stephen LeBlanc.
Your life will eventually be affected by events in Israel and the Middle East. What is so worrisome is that most people, especially Americans, could not even locate countries such as Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, or Israel on a world map. But even if you cannot locate these countries on a globe, it is so important for you to understand what is happening over in the Middle East and what is going to happen in this volatile part of the world in the future. Now, the whole Middle East is rife with violent hotspots. And any of these hotspots, if they are not resolved, could escalate into regional war. 100 years ago, most of the Middle East was controlled by the Turkish Ottoman Empire. But that empire fell apart immediately after World War I. It was replaced by new nations such as Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and the Persian Gulf states, all under direct or indirect European control, and most of that control was administered by either the British or the French. Now, further change came to the Middle East after the Second World War. Arab nationalists were outraged when the United Nations divided the British Mandate territory of Palestine into Jewish and Palestinian areas. Now, the Jewish State of Israel came into existence on May the 15th in 1948, but it was immediately attacked by 5 Arab armies, all determined to totally crush this small country of 500,000 people. Now, the consequences of having a nation in the Middle East called Israel today has created constant tension in the region as the Arab neighbors of Israel are constantly threatening war against this small state. So once again, storm clouds are gathering around the tiny Middle East nation of Israel. Not only is Iran, with its ramped-up nuclear program, threatening to destroy her, Israel is also looking at possible wars with Hezbollah in Lebanon and war with President Bashar Assad of Syria. Israel believes Syria remains its principal imminent threat. And this past spring, it was reported that Syria has set in place thousands of medium and long-range rockets along the border with Israel. Now, these rockets are capable of striking major towns across northern Israel, including the heavily populated city of Haifa. The IDF, which stands for Israel Defense Forces, they believe that President Bashar Assad is emboldened by Hezbollah's perceived shadow success while fighting the Israelis last summer. Now, Israeli intelligence believes that Assad might be motivated to launch aggressive strikes into Israel in an effort to seize the Golan Heights. He would do this either by exercising a lightning attack across the border to capture a couple of Israeli towns, or by firing long-range conventional missiles into the country. Now, the Golan Heights are of great strategic importance to both Syria and Israel. The Golan Heights overlook and control the whole area, the villages and the cities of the plains of northern Israel. Now, the heights, the Golan Heights, are roughly the size of the borough of Queens in New York City. So we're not talking about a very large area, but it is extremely important from a strategic standpoint. The width of the whole area of the Golan Heights at its widest point is only about 15 and a half miles. Now, the Golan Heights control the Sea of Galilee, which, of course, is in Israel. And this is very important because the Sea of Galilee is the only lake in Israel, and it is the foremost water source for that nation. The Jerusalem Post reports that the IDF recently held intensive training maneuvers in the Judean desert to drill simulations of war with Syria. Now, the training exercise rehearsed its employment of Israel's most sophisticated tank, which is called the Merkava Mark IV. and it simulated a war against the Syrians as they used their highly capable Russian-made T-72. Israel is also preparing for possible chemical attacks from Syria. Now, Syria has the capability of manufacturing hundreds of tons of chemical agents, and Jane's Defense Weekly reports that Iran is providing Syria the technical expertise to produce the infamous VX and sarin nerve agents. Now, the VX nerve agent is approximately 10 times more poisonous than sarin. These are nerve agents that result in sustained contractions of muscles all over the body. If you're exposed to the nerve agent, it's a very painful way to die because the muscles all over the body contract, and eventually the diaphragm itself contracts, and this can lead, of course, to death by suffocation. Now, Israel believes that there is a very real possibility that Assad may launch a chemical attack against its citizens and soldiers. Israeli intelligence believes that the Syrian president is so desperate to prove himself that he will possibly go to war against Israel in the near future. Now, why is this the case? Why is he so desperate to prove himself? Well, it's because the president of Syria was pushed out of Lebanon in the year 2005. And in fact, he lost face in front of the whole Muslim world back in April of 2005. He was forced out of Lebanon by the international community. And since that time, he has been caricatured within the Muslim world as somewhat of a bumbling, weak leader in the eyes of the Middle East dictators. Now, Iran is Syria's ally, but even the Iranians treat Syria with a certain hint of contempt. What could save Assad in the eyes of the Muslim world? Well, Assad was mesmerized by the Shiite Hassan Nasrallah's fight against Israel back in the summer of 2006, so he himself is contemplating his own war against Israel. He believes that perhaps this will restore his credibility among his Arab neighbors. Now, we don't know for sure whether the Syrian president will go to war against Israel, but there's no doubt he's contemplating the possibility. Now, this is a major concern with Israeli intelligence that Assad may actually strike against Israeli towns bordering the Golan Heights.
We want to mention to you a free publication we want you to have. It's called Tomorrow's News. It's simply a newsletter we produce on a regular basis. We analyze international news and cultural trends that often escape the eye of the mainstream press. We take an in-depth look at such issues as the rising power in Europe, how oil is impacting the global chess table, and moral problems that affect our families, such as pornography and same-sex marriage. We write about these subjects with an eye as to how God views the actions of nations and the behavior of men. If you phone in, we can put you on our mailing list. This publication is free of charge. There is absolutely no obligation to us. To receive a subscription to Tomorrow's News, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-44-WORLD. It may be a couple of weeks before you get your first issue, so please be patient with us.
In today's program, we're talking about the country of Syria and how there is potential conflict in the near future between Syria and Israel. Now, Syria pushed its way into Lebanon back in 1976. They pretended to be peacekeepers in Lebanon's year-old civil war. Now, the Lebanese civil war, which was between the Sunni and Shiite Muslims and the Druze and the Maronite Christians in power, was over who should rule Lebanon. And the war dragged on for 15 agonizing years, killing over 100,000 Lebanese. Subsequently, at the close of the war in 1990, 40,000 Syrian troops remained on in Lebanon, giving the Syrian government, in effect, de facto leadership in Lebanese politics. Well, why does Syria want to control Lebanon? We have to understand a little bit of history here. It's because Syrian nationalists view Lebanon as part of Greater Syria, and they always have viewed Lebanon as part of Greater Syria. So controlling Lebanon is good for Syria. It's good for Syria's economy because it gives Syria access to Lebanese banks. It also provides a source of employment for Syrian workers who send their money back to their families in Syria. Now, Syria's influence in Lebanon over the past 2 years has shriveled, mainly as a result of a misguided assassination that took place in 2005. A few years ago, the former and now deceased Lebanese Prime Minister Farag al-Hariri reported that President Assad bluntly told him in a private conversation. He said, "I'm the only one who has the right to select the Lebanese president, and no other person, whether Syrian or Lebanese, has that right. Do you understand who has the power here?" Now, not long after that conversation, Hariri was killed along with 15 others in a massive explosion on the Beirut seafront. Who was behind the killing of Hariri in February of 2005? Well, the United States government and the French government believed that President Assad of Syria was the one who ordered the murder of the Lebanese prime minister. So the international community made Assad pay dearly for the assassination of Hariri. The United States and France, who co-sponsored the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1559 in 2004, that, by the way, required the withdrawal of foreign forces, meaning Syria, from Lebanon, now use the Syrian murder of Hariri as a catalyst to actually drive Syria out of Lebanon once and for all back in 2005. Syria was forced to withdraw its troops from Lebanon by the end of April 2005, which she did. But this was a great humiliation to the Syrian people, and particularly to President Assad. He was forced by the international community to leave Lebanon, but he wasn't strong enough to stay in Lebanon. This was the whole problem. So he looked weak in face of what had taken place here, and particularly weak in the face of other Arab dictators around the region. Following Assad's bungling in Lebanon, the only way Assad believes that he can redeem himself today within the Arab world is by attacking Israel and gaining control of the strategic Golan Heights, which Syria, by the way, embarrassingly lost in the 1967 Six-Day War against Israel. Assad's fellow Arab leaders in the Arab League feel Assad is a mere shadow of his highly respected and greatly feared deceased father. War with Israel just might restore the respect Assad so deeply craves within the Arab world. But this is Israel's fear.
Don't forget to join us on the World Wide Web at wonderfulworldtomorrow.org. Take a look at our regularly updated columns on Europe, the Middle East, and an array of biblical topics. We discuss moral trends in our column, Moral Compass. You can download free literature and play our latest radio programs. Our web address is wonderfulworldtomorrow.org.
We've been talking about the nation of Syria in the Middle East and its relationship to Israel. And it may surprise you to know that the Israelis actually fear Syria more in the immediate future, I'm talking about within the next year or two, than they fear Iran. Now, of course, they greatly fear Iran because they believe Iran will be able to create their own nuclear weapon in the next 2 to 5 years. So that's a more intermediate stage concern that they have. But they believe that Syria is amassing weapons on their border. I'm talking about literally thousands of medium and long-range rockets that could be fired into Israel. Now, why would the president of Syria be willing to provoke the Israelis by amassing these medium and long-range rockets on the border with Israel? Well, you have to understand, back a few years ago, President Assad of Syria was forced out of Lebanon by the international community. He believes, President Assad believes, that a big part of Lebanon belongs to Syria. Now, he was forced out by the international community, and in this regard, he was shown as being weak and his Arab neighbors look upon him as somewhat of a weakened leader in the Arab world, and he wants to rectify all of this, and he believes if he can rectify it, the way to rectify it would be to go to war against Israel. Now, I'm not saying for sure that he's going to war against Israel, but I'm talking about what Israeli intelligence is concerned about, and they fear that the president of Syria is going to go to war against Israel to try to regain the Golan Heights, a very strategic small section of the part of Israel that exists today, which is disputed between Israel and Syria. Now, if Syria can effectively regain the Golan Heights either through negotiation or through a limited war with Israel, Assad of Syria believes that his standing within the Muslim world will rise substantially, and he will regain his respect among the Arab leaders.
Stephen LeBlanc will return after this brief message.
Terrorists in London plan to blow up planes destined for America. Muslim extremists call for the destruction of Israel. The Iranian nuclear threat draws America closer to war with Iran. And North Korea launches missiles in an obvious gesture to provoke the United States. World peace doesn't seem to be around the corner, does it? Over 150 million people have died in war in the last 100 years alone. Millions more will die in the years ahead. Is there any hope for world peace? The answer is yes, but not from a source most people expect. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to earth prophesying about a wonderful world in the future. But before we see that world, a horrible period of devastating war and suffering on an unimaginable scale will engulf the nations of this earth. Christ's message, called the gospel, means good news. But what news was he talking about? To understand more about what this good news is and how Christ will deal with the nations of this world, phone us toll-free for our free booklet, The Gospel According to Christ. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is toll-free, 1-877-44-WORLD. Our booklet, The Gospel According to Christ, is free, and there is no obligation or follow-up.
Bible history tells us that most of the neighboring countries that surrounded ancient Israel hated the Israelites, and that they would make war against them whenever they believed they could be victorious. That hatred for Israel by her neighbors is still evident today, and is going to manifest itself even more in the future. I want you to notice this amazing prophecy concerning the Middle East and concerning Israel and her enemies. And the prophecy is found in Psalm 83. I'm reading Psalm 83, verses 1 through 8. The setting of the prophecy is a time of war. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, speaking of Israel, that the name of Israel may be no more remembered. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gabal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Salah. Well, this is a prophecy about the surrounding nations of Israel in the end time who seek to totally eradicate Israel, to destroy Israel. But that has been the case ever since 1948, when that tiny little nation became a country. Actually, it goes back further than that, because back in Old Testament times, the nations surrounding Israel wanted to destroy Israel. But in the more recent history, in our day and age, it was back in 1948 when Israel became a nation that the surrounding Arab nations, five specific nations, immediately went to war and tried to destroy that tiny little country. But as you know, today Israel still exists, and those Arab nations were not successful. And by the grace of God, Israel is the premier nation in the Middle East today. Now back to the prophecy in Psalm 83. Now the descendants of those ancient people today mirror in attitude and actions their ancestors of old. The Ishmaelites mentioned in Psalm 83 actually descended from Hagar through Ishmael, and they became known as the Arab people, originating out of what we call Saudi Arabia. Did you know that Osama bin Laden himself is a self-proclaimed Ishmaelite? Now, the Philistines in the prophecy held back then what is called today the Gaza Strip. Moab and Ammon were directly east of Israel and what we know today as the nation of Jordan. Tyre was the financial center of what we call Lebanon. Now, Tyre is located in southern Lebanon today. It's about 55 miles south of Beirut. Gebal, or Byblos, as it's often called, is located on the Mediterranean coast of Lebanon, and it's about 26 miles north of Beirut. Amalek may be a reference to the modern-day Palestinians. And Assyria, if it's the ethnic description, Assyria would be most likely a reference to the place the Assyrians migrated to in Central Europe, meaning the region where Germany and Austria are today. Now, if Assyria is a strict reference to ancient geography, then we would be talking about probably northern Iraq. So where does Syria, though, fit into all these end-time events? Well, there's an end-time prophecy of Damascus and Syria, and it reveals to us what is going to happen in the future. All you need to do is turn to Isaiah chapter 17, and this prophecy starts out as a prophecy against Damascus, the capital of Syria, and it speaks of its coming destruction. It also mentions that this occurs in that day, and it's a reference in that day to an end-time setting. So let's read the prophecy, and I begin in Isaiah chapter 17 in verse 1, where it says, "An oracle concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. Her cities will be deserted forever. They will be for flocks, which will lie down, and none will make them afraid. The fortress will disappear from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria will be like the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. And in that day," a reference to the end time, "in that day, the glory of Jacob will be brought low, and the fat of his flesh will grow lean." So when will Damascus cease to be a city? When will it become a heap of ruins? It will become a heap of ruins in that day, in the end time, because we're told in that day that the glory of Jacob will be brought low. So when the end time descendants of Jacob are brought low, when Jacob goes through his time of great trouble, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, it's during this time period, at the very end of the age, just before Christ returns, that Syria itself, speaking of the capital Damascus, will actually cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. Now, some may ask, how do we know that this prophecy has not already been fulfilled? Well, notice that the prophecy says that Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. Here is where you have to understand a little bit of history. Damascus is the capital of Syria, and it is recognized today as the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. During its entire history, Damascus has never been totally destroyed and left uninhabited in the way Isaiah's prophecy describes. So we know that this prophecy will be fulfilled in the near future. Now, the good news is that God will eventually punish the nations that seek to hurt his people. And in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ rules over all the nations of the world, the descendants of Israel will be held in high regard, especially those of the tribe of Judah. As we're told in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8 and verse 23, that in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you."
The Wonderful World Tomorrow has been a presentation of the Church of God.
To request free literature offered on our program, you may access our website at wonderfulworldtomorrow.org. That web address again is wonderfulworldtomorrow.org. To request literature over the phone, toll free, phone us at 1-877-449-6753. That toll-free number is 1-877-449-6753. There is absolutely no obligation or follow-up. If you prefer to write for our free literature, you may write to The Wonderful World Tomorrow, P.O. Box 3332, Modesto, California, 95353. Again, that address is The Wonderful World Tomorrow, P.O. Box 3332, Modesto, California, 95353.